I'm chasing down a memory of the way things used to be. Kids playing underneath an old street light, knowing they were safe when they laid down at night. I'm looking for something I ain't seen in a while. I'm looking for a factory where a man can feed his family, not worried about them moving it south, closing the doors and shutting her down tomorrow. I'm looking for America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Seems like I just woke up one day and it was gone, long gone. But I know where inside you'll find people who live their lives unashamed, and they ain't afraid to say God's name out loud. Yeah, I'm looking for America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Seems like I just woke up one day and it was gone. Isn't free, and I guess it's up to you and me to find it. Yeah, we gotta find it, 'cause we're looking for.
Good evening, everyone. It is week 30 of the Republic Roundtable. It's February the 2nd, 2012. Welcome to all of you to our call this evening. If you did not receive an agenda, let me tell you what's going on. I'm your host and moderator, Robert Zuluaga. Janine Stewart is our producer. And our president, James Timothy Turner, will be addressing us this evening, as will Congress and the judiciary. So the president has asked for a change in the format of the Republic call. We have been at this now for coming up on 7 months. The roundtable was birthed out of the closing down of the ambassador program. A few of us really started with Donna Kozak, and Janine and myself were concerned that we needed a voice from the different aspects within the Republic that expressed what each of us are doing, not just what we hear from the top down, but what's happening on in the three branches of the national government, in the state legislatures, in the state governors, in the assemblies, and at a county level. So our endeavor has been to bring to you a cross-section of the voice of the people, and that format has been working to some degree. There seems to be different comments from folks about whether there's enough input from folks. So anyway, you be the judge. The president asked that the format change, and he'll lay that out for us this evening. So I would like to begin us with a word of prayer. And to do that, I am going to call on you, Bruce. But just before I do, our chaplain for the Republic, Wade Butler, sent out a prophecy from a Chuck Pierce on about the 15th of January for this year. And just some of the pieces in that just really touched my heart. Have freedom of expression for all of us. I know we don't all come from the same reference point, but there's just something about this that I think is worth remembering, because we're in a powerful, powerful shift at the beginning of this year. I hope you feel it. I do. There's a sifting and a sorting amongst us, and there's an acceleration. And so he says a few things. It's a couple of pages long, and I'm not going to read it all, but he just says a couple of things. The rising of the ecclesia, the worshiping army, in this season will be dramatic in many ways. There is an escalation of time. There is a speeding up of time. There is an increase of momentum. That which I am doing, I will increase in its haste. I am hastening the process. I am turning up the temperature. I am coming with holy fire. The fires of my presence will burn with greater heat. I will burn through obstacles. I will burn through strongholds in your lives. I will even burn through strongholds and lives of those who do not know me. I will show them that in their sin I am preparing them for a throne. I will place things in their hearts. I will cause destinies to come alive in them that they do not know they had. I will purify the impure. I will break off of them structures that have been put on them from birth. I will bring them to places. I will do this quickly. I will bring them to a place where they will begin to see by the Spirit. They will write. They will perform with the same creativity they had in the world system. However, now they will do their work for me with great excellence. I will invade the mountains of societies in this season with a new intensity. There's so much more, but one of the pieces that I wanted to talk about was this. Your promotion is coming in place, even as David was promoted. You're coming past the shame of your mistakes in the past. Your promotion is coming in place. In this season, the battles will increase, but victories will come more easily. The warfare will intensify, but victories will come more easily. The enemy is going to rise up in this hour with greater intensity, because he is very angry and very alarmed at what he sees is happening. But even though he comes with great intensity, the battle is easier and easier to win, because we are fighting them from a high place of understanding and revelation. Do not be intimidated at the enemy, who will rise up against you. So if I can find you here, Bruce, I'm inviting you to open us up in a word of prayer.
I will do that. Let me say at the outset, first, though, we here in Kansas have an annual event in the springtime, which is the burning of the prairies. And this is done on massive scale throughout the state because it's healthy for the prairies. It increases the productivity for this than the succeeding year. And when this used to happen before the increase of civilization out here, there was a tremendous amount of damage and destruction, and animals and everything else was killed. But it's interesting in studying that out, the things that were killed are those that tried to run from the fire. Those that ran through the fire survived. And I believe this is a lot like the Spirit of God. The Word of God says that he will be the fire roundabout and the glory in the midst. And as we press forward to build the republic, I just believe that the Spirit of God wants to be that glory. And the fire around about us and the glory in our midst. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together this night on this call, Father, with one heart and one mind, one focus to build the republic, Father, that you've placed us within. Father, it's our heart to restore America and the glory that you have placed upon this nation, Father, from the foundations of our forefathers. Father, we ask you to move by your power and by your Spirit that this might be built in the way that you would have it to be done, decently and in order. Father God, that there be no big egos and little yous, Father God, but it be the Spirit of God with one heart and one mind desiring to build your vision for this place. Keep us in the center of your perfect will. Purify us by your holy fire. Help us to work with excellence. Have your will and your way in and through each life. We rest in your love and faithfulness. We believe you for that. We thank you. It is done in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. President Tim, if you are on the line, sir, I welcome you to the call, and you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate you and Janine, Rick, and all the folks that participate in the call very much. And it's always a pleasure to talk to the people. We are making a lot of progress on some things. I'd like to talk about the states. We've had a few states that have been having issues for some time. And I'd like to report that Indiana, Georgia, and Mississippi are moving and coming back into on track the way they should be. And I'm very thankful that the people stood up and actually have taken the helm and started moving things in the right direction. Went out and visited with the states, and the people received the message well and responded well, and I'm very thankful. There were a lot of misconceptions about things that were allegedly going on that the people didn't know, and we spoke with them and explained to them what's happening and communicated with them better. We're trying to improve that, and the people came together, and I'm very thankful to see their states are coming together. Not everybody wanted to comply or participate, and that's okay. That's within their right to do so. But all of those that wanted to were given the opportunity to, and we're thankful for those. Most all of the people stood up. Just a handful decided not to and go a different direction. But that's okay. The Lord knows who we need, and the people stood up, and the vast majority of the people came along, and now they're building the states in the proper way. And I'm thankful for that, for those folks that stood up. We're making a lot of progress in other areas as well. We're working on the ecclesiastical court system, how to integrate it into the republic lawfully and properly. We want to make sure we do it right and not cause any problems, solve the problems instead of cause problems. So we are. I'm very excited about some of the things that I see going on, and we need to get the last state or two that we need. I'm not sure exact count. I think it's about 33, but I haven't verified that with Rick today. But I believe we were about 33 states. He can come on and give us more information probably on that. But I'm thankful for the work that all the people are doing and trying to bring it together, because it's time for us to move forward now. Been in touch with the funders even today. They called me today. They're ready to move forward. I explained to them what we're doing, and they're anxious to meet, and let's get things going. Things are set, and the things are changing rapidly in the world. They shared some things with me that I'll be bringing to you in the near future about things that are going to happen in our country, and it's very good for us. And we just need to pull it together, guys. We've got people around the world that are waiting on us now, and I was concerned about this happening, and that's why I've been talking to you for a year now about we need to pull these things together, and we're almost there. I'm thankful for all the help that all the people out there. I know many of you are working very hard, but it's almost time to finish it up and see things move quickly. They're going to really start moving shortly. And so I appreciate all the help, and God bless all of you, and help us bring this on together and unite our republic, because we are truly coming together now and uniting like we never have. We do know that there's other groups out there that are trying to go a different direction. They claim that they're the real republic, but I can tell you they're not. And you can involve yourself with them if you want to, but you'll come to a bad end if you do, because these folks are being investigated right now by the FBI and Department of Justice. And I can tell you that they're not pleased with what they're seeing, because they're not following the law form that the Constitution and the laws of our land require. And in doing so, they're putting themselves squarely on the radar. So you go off on these things and you follow things like permanent government, the Magna Carta, or whatever, the Articles of Confederation, or free nation states, independent nation states, if you follow any of those ideas, you're going to put yourself squarely on the radar. That's a guarantee, because I already know that many of them are being investigated. So what we need to do is come together and build the right republic, and that is this republic. This is the only republic. And there's not another republic, and there never will be another republic. So if you want to be part of a republic, you need to get involved with us and help us to build this one. We're going to make mistakes. We're not perfect. We're people. But we want to hear from you. If we do something that's contrary to the law, tell us about it, because we do want to know. We don't know everything. However, we're doing the best we know how to do to follow the law of the land and do things properly. Although a lot of people disagree with that, it seems. If you look at the track record of those people, you'll find that, first of all, they're ignorant concerning law. Second of all, most of them don't even know what the Constitution says, much less know how to form a government that operates by it. I can tell you that we have experts in our republic that do know, that are very well knowledgeable and studied, and do know in helping guide this process forward properly. And I'm very anxious to see it completed. And I appreciate the help of all the people that are working with us to make that happen. And soon you'll be happy that you did. And God bless all of you. I'm going to sign off of here. I got some other commitments tonight. But if there are any questions that we need to answer, our crew is already ready to take the questions and answers. And I thank you for your time tonight. And God bless you. I hope that you'll pray for me, because we're dealing with some heavy issues right now. But so far, everything is working out very well. And so have a wonderful night, and God bless all of you. Thank you, Robert, and I'll turn the floor back over to you.
Very good, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Godspeed, and well, we'll take it from what you've said here. You've invited Rick Weiner to come on and give us a status update report. So Secretary of Republic Records, Rick Weiner, you have the floor.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Can you hear me, Robert?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Thank you. To follow up on what the president was mentioning, we do have 33 states that are – we have 30 100% states. We have three other states that are at 99.999%. I mean, we're missing something as simple as a signature on minutes or things like that, just to make sure that we're it's not – compliance is not the word. Just to make sure that records could say, yes, we can show you the records that we have a 100% Republican form of government in these particular states. We have four other states that are at, we would call, 98% to 99%. They have small little things. All of these people are doing a bang-up job of putting things together. We have Georgia, as the president was saying, has got things put back together. I totally expect them to be number 35 or 36 here within the week. They've got some really good people. They have gone back and found the records that were missing and are pushing them to us as we speak. Looks like one popped just in here just now. So Joy and some of those people in Georgia are doing their job of what they're supposed to do. And so that's where we at, having to do with the audit. Janine, is there anything that I've missed that you want to add?
I think you've covered it pretty well, Rick. We do have some people that are just working day and night to get the last few details taken care of, and we really appreciate that. And I yield the floor.
Okay, I've got a couple other things, Robert, if you have time for me.
Sure, go ahead.
Gotten quite a few question emails to me today, last few days, said, why has National removed governors and different officials? I can tell you categorically that National has not removed anybody. We don't have the power. The president and everybody up here will back me 100%. We do not have the power to remove a governor or any of the officials within a state. Only the people in that state have the ability to remove those officials. So be careful and follow up on any rumors or conjectures where somebody either has misunderstood or is purposely putting that information out to try and mess up your own mind in a republic, the one republic of all of the free states, and we do have plenty of free states to create a quorum. We do have plenty of states that have their representatives and their senators that we can have a quorum even in Congress. And by the Constitution of the United States that we have re-inhabited of 1789, along with the Bill of Rights of 1791, the seven articles of the Constitution, the 10 amendments, where we're holding at right now, because we know that those were lawfully put together by our forefathers. I can assure everybody that we have not removed anybody. We have had resignations. We have had people remove their signatures from documents. We have no other power than to accept what the people do. So if somebody sends me a resignation, the only power that I have is to accept your resignation, pray that you know what you're doing and that you won't be harmed in what you believe in. The same is with the president. We have accepted resignations from governors and other people that are using what they call the nation states form of that they want to be removed permanently. The president and I don't have the power to remove anybody permanently, but the person themselves certainly does have that power. So I just wanted to make that clear to the people tonight on the rumors and conjecture, and anybody can write an email. I could write an email and send it out to everybody and tell them that we have a purple pig flying overhead. All I ask is check your facts and use a little discernment. I mean, the people that rave and rant on this stuff, they have a different agenda, and that's okay. We know from experience in our country that the media themselves every day puts out information or disinformation to try and get us off track. We do have a lot of resignations, and we are systematically putting them in the records. We're notifying the states back and so that their own records keeper will get it, because believe it or not, they're mailing them directly to the president or to my office. And I don't know if that has any difference of effect, but we'll take them come one, come all, if that's what they believe in. On the flip side, in those states that are kind of being reset, the president and I have already gotten calls from different people that are outside the republic. That have heard about us or were at a assembly meeting in the past and understood about our website and different places. And we're getting emails from them saying, you know, I went to some of these meetings. I just didn't have a right feeling. But I see that things have got changed around, that the people are together. And would you please put us in contact with the people in Georgia or the people in Mississippi? And we immediately do that. So it's kind of funny. Those that don't want to be part of this republic under our law form are more than free to leave, and it's interesting how some of the people are starting to come out of the woodwork that have been holding back for one reason or other. There is one thing I'd kind of like to clear up. Mike Brady and I had a fairly long conversation on Monday on the governor and executive branch call. Mike stated we have lost five governors lately, and that is not acceptable. Well, I understand where Mike's coming from. Mike is saying that we seem to be losing good people for the wrong reasons. I just point out that some of the governors and the people believe that the states are or should be sovereign. There is no evidence to that fact. The Constitution, with its seven articles, and the Bill of Rights, with its 10 amendments, in no way, form, or manner allows the states to be sovereign. They do not have any kind of sovereign power. I've had a lot of governors throw really, bad emails at me saying that I can't sit there and say that the states are not sovereign because the states created national. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. Only the people created this entire republic that we have right now. Each one of them are a member of the one republic, and they gave up some of their rights to national, and they gave up some of their rights to the state themselves. But categorically, the states did not create national. The people did. The people put together representatives. Those representatives came together, and they put together the national government and put James Timothy Turner at the helm. And I'd just like you all to know that that's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey Woods used to say. And, Robert, I have nothing else. That's my report. I yield.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. When we get into some question answers, we'll go a little bit deeper into that. Let's get all the reports out of the way first. All right. Well, I'd like to invite the Speaker of the House, Mark Lounsbery, to come on and give us an update of what's going on in the House. And as a preface to that, Speaker Lounsbery, I'd like to you to give us a confirmation on the update of the Flag Act, which the last time we heard from the House was on its way to the president, and we have not had any confirmation whether he has given it the thumbs up or sent it back to you. So good evening, sir.
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to the people.
You're welcome.
I will start out by saying that Congress is working very hard. A lot of the committees are working diligently to be prepared for whatever situations may arise. Moving back to the Flag Act, it was passed. It has been sent to the president. I am not sure what the status is, but on that for sure. But I think he has signed it, if I remember right. We can find out that for sure from Rick. And then, secondly, the Congress is in the process, that the Immigration and Naturalization Committee in particular, and the Constitutional Studies Committee is working diligently to provide appropriate mechanisms to bring a large number of people into the Republic in a short period of time. And we're working on sort of a two-tiered approach where we can allow people to have to show their intent to come into the Republic, kind of put themselves into the queue. With also dealing with security aspects and sort of a vetting process and going through the process of actually signing their declaration of intent and their declaration of jurisdictional understanding that they are part of the original de jure constitutional republic, and it gives them an opportunity to remove themselves out from under the jurisdictional venue of the corporation, which has by de facto been operating and controlling this country for a long time. And so all of those things are being put into place, discussed and debated, and trying to get input from all of the Congress and actually all of the Republic, because it's out there to where everyone can look at it. And it's all been kind of massaged and tweaked and trying to get it ready, hopefully within the next couple weeks here, to be a complete full package that can be voted on by Congress, so that we'll be ready to handle the processing of a lot of people. And there will be training and individual county and state assemblies that are going to have to begin to utilize some of the tools that are going to be developed and perhaps develop their own. But all of that is being developed right now, and we're excited about what's happening. In fact, just last night we had a meeting, and a lot of good stuff was discussed and headway made, and stuff was incorporated that other people in the Republic had sent in. And so just a lot of good stuff taking place.
Excellent. And for folks who want to listen in to what's happening on the House calls, how do they go about doing that?
It is this same number that you call in tonight, 712-432-0075. And the code is 111880.
Okay, and then it's also archived for them to listen to after the fact if they can't make it on, what is it, Tuesday nights you meet, right?
Yes, it's on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, very good.
Robert, if you don't mind, if I could just ask Mark to clarify, on the nights that you are in joint session with the Senate and the nights that you're voting, that's considered closed session, is it not?
Well, currently we haven't been closing it just because we've had a lot of transition going on and people in and out of the Congress. And so when that settles down a little bit, we'll be able to do that more easily. Now, there may come times when we actually close it up, but we haven't in the past, even on the joint session. They do close it probably in the Senate when they separate apart. And our voting is done not over in the House, it's not done over the call, but is done by ballot. And the Senate, I believe, can speak to the way that they've been voting. So right now, it hasn't been closed, even in the joint session.
Very
Thank
good.
You.
And you do actually show the ballot, don't you? You show it on the Republic Congress website, how people vote
yes.
on a bill?
Yes, and the last two ballots will be being posted shortly. We were just trying to confirm some of the LCFs that people have been sending in, their legislative contact forms, just to verify that the people that sent the ballots in were valid representatives and senators. There's a few, and even the ones that aren't known wouldn't be enough to change the outcome of the vote, but it is something that we wanted to put out there as accurate as possible as far as those who have gotten their documentation in. So that will be coming out very shortly here because we've been going through along with the Records Bureau, been going through our own work in trying to gather up those contact forms and the documentation and the signed forms and so forth.
Very good. Speaker Lounsbury, I hear that you're traveling with the Senator Geiger. We don't hear very often from Senator Geiger on the Republic Roundtable call, so if he is with you and available, I would welcome him to the call to give a Senate update.
Okay. Hold on.
This is Jim.
Yes.
Good evening. Evening, Senator
good
Geiger.
Evening.
We don't hear you very often on this call, so please take a few minutes and tell us what's happening in the Senate.
Of course, the past several sessions of the Senate have been in joint session with the House. So the exact same things that the House has been covering, we've been covering also, which mainly has to do with the DSR form and getting that to a status where we're ready to use it and pass it so it's available to the people. And one of the holdups on that form has been in the past week or so, it's been decided to go to essentially a two-tier approach so that we're expecting a large influx into the Republic. And in order to accommodate that, we want to have a form like on the computer where people can just say that I have the intention of joining the Republic. And once they show their intention, then they can continue down the process of completing full citizenship in the Republic and go from there. And yes, I did use that word citizenship, and I want to try to educate people on the use of that word a little bit. It's the same word that our forefathers used. And in fact, we are re-inhabiting and reclaiming the words and terms that our forefathers used that maybe de facto is have been misusing. So please don't be afraid of the word citizen. In the case that we're using it in, it's uppercase C, citizen. And so those things have been debated very much so in committee and on the floor of the House and Senate. But the reason I'm bringing that out, because I know that a lot of folks across the country may have an aversion to the use of that word. But it's a term that de facto understands, and it's also a term that we are reclaiming for ourselves in its rightful manner, as the Constitution uses it. And bear in mind that we're not doing anything new. What we're doing is re-inhabiting what our forefathers did. And there are those out in our midst that are they have their own agenda that President Turner alluded to, that want to do something new. But we're not heading down that road. We're heading down the road of reoccupying what our forefathers designed for us for our benefit. And so that's our focus in the Congress. And right now, that focus, as I said, is on the, in recent weeks, focus on the forms that are going to be necessary for people to join up with the Republic. Now, the next item on the agenda that's already been read before the Congress has to do with the Great Seal. The Congress has a responsibility to provide a seal for use for the government, for the Republic, and that's what we have a committee that's working on that, put in a lot of hours, and gotten it to a point now where maybe in a couple of weeks we'll be able to vote on that also. But we are, the committees in Congress, both in the Senate and House, and some of them jointly, are working earnestly on behalf of the people. And as things get completed to such a degree where they are able to come to the floor, then those things are voted on and for the benefit of the people brought forward. So that's my report in a nutshell, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of questions.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I have a question for you, and it's part of some foundational work that I was involved in when we first started, and I'm wondering if the House and the Senate are considering it. You talked about a path to citizenship within the Republic. It's certainly a concern of my heart that we provide an education, a step-by-step education that enables folks to not just join into the Republic and have no idea what the heck the Republic is, but to go through a step-by-step, maybe it's something that's done online, maybe it's something that's done at the local assemblies, but a way of measuring understanding. So they have a module, they study on it, they test on it, they pass that, then they move to the next module. Because when people come into America, they go through a process of induction, I guess. Maybe that's not exactly the right word, but they go through a process of understanding what makes America so special. And I believe we really have to be setting that tone early on when people come into this republic. It's going to create better order. It's going to create more clarity of purpose between people. And I just wonder if the Senate and the House are discussing that, if that's what you're talking about when you talk about a two-tier approach.
That is part of the two-tier approach. Is and part of our committee members, Immigration Naturalization Committee and also the Joint Constitutional Committee together now are working on this in concert, if you would. But part of the committee members are working on exactly what you're talking about is essentially educational materials and testing type materials for so that individuals coming into the Republic know and understand where they're coming from and also where they're going. And essentially, we'll be able to see what the benefits are of the restoration of this Republic.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that when they come to sign their DSR, that's got to be a watershed moment in their life. It's got to be, wow, I am so ready for this. I'm so ready to step out from the de facto. And it's going to set a tone in the tone in membership, but not really in Americans, that yes, we are taking back the country from the de facto. And finally, we're able to stand under our own vine. We're able to live free. We're able to be free. And so I just hope that I wish you guys every success in putting those pieces in place and getting that going in a way that's measurable, so we don't just get an ad hoc mass of people joining and really not understanding what really sets us apart from what the de facto is doing.
Robert?
Yes, Janine.
I do know that Chief Justice Peachey is on a short time, and I was hoping we could go ahead and bring him on before we go into the Q&A.
Oh, absolutely. The third branch of government, of course, is the judicial, and it's always a great pleasure to welcome you, Chief Justice Peachy. Sir, you have the floor.
Good evening, everyone. I appreciate listening and being educated here tonight on the various subjects. Rick Weiner, or someone had asked me to talk about the ecclesiastical courts. I am not very well prepared to talk about that right now, at this moment, simply because I have been busy this week, and there's a few things I need to be researching before I would want to make a public talk on that. Other than that, there is a few ecclesiastical courts that are in operation right now and that are being used to remove cases from the de facto courts, which is a very good idea, I think. How they're going to be implemented or used in the Republic, that is to be debated and talked about yet. So leaving at that, I apologize, Rick, for the short update on that subject. Just a couple of minutes on the Constitution, if I may. One of the biggest problems we actually have in the Republic is misinformation and education. And the best place to be educated on the original Republic is actually going back and reading the arguments that our forefathers did, the papers they wrote, and, of course, the acts of Congress, the general laws that they pass for the general government. And it clears up a lot of the mindset that some folks have about what a republic is or should be. For the most part, the areas that we've been dealing with and people not understanding what the republic really is were people maybe that had their own agenda and they wanted to do something different or wanted to go down another road. And like the president said, and Mark and all the others, Jim actually, you know, we can't, what we're doing here is we're actually reinstating and re-inhabiting the original republic, constitutional republic. You know, we can't do anything new or different. Things can be changed down the road when we're permanent. Like, you know, we can actually ratify the Constitution or make amendments to the Constitution, or the people can if that's what they want to do when we were a permanent form of government. We wouldn't be able to do that right now. The one of the areas of where we get sidetracked the most is through the District of Columbia issue, the corporation. When do we lose the republic? When did we have it? And in the Constitution, page 34 of that little booklet that we use, the Citizens' Rule Book. Section 8 of Article 2, I believe, is in the congressional section, or Article 1, actually, Section 8. Congress has the authority to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as made by a cession of particular states. I find that to be the section that is the most misunderstood in our republic today. It is often alluded to the fact that the republic would be confined in 10 miles square. And that is not how this is to be interpreted, actually. What this is saying is that Congress, because this is talking about Congress, we the people, actually have exclusive legislation in all cases over the 10 square mile area where is the seat of the government of the United States. Now, the governed are all we the people. They're within the 50 Union States as one body. And it's true, like Rick alluded to, the fact that the people, by ratifying the Constitution in 1787, we had the structure of a monarchy here in America. We had the sovereign king, and they had an entire structure of government which started in operation from the ground up. They had the manors, they had the barons, they had the counties, they had the shire reeves, which was the old-fashioned de facto sheriffs. They had a complete hierarchical monarch structure going all the way, which the smaller units composed bigger units, and the bigger units composed bigger units yet. Then it composed the state, and then the states composed the nation. And that's how most people think today. And what they don't understand is that was a hierarchy monarchy. And the king sat at the top, governing from the ground up through his structure. Okay? Now, in the Declaration of Independence, the king was removed. The sovereignty was removed. And it left intact the structure of all the ancient structures yet. Even the sheriff was part of the monarchy system. He answered, and he was the highest authority, actually in a baron or in a certain shire reeve, in a county for a count or an earl. And so this whole structure was left in place yet when the king's sovereignty was removed by the Declaration of Independence. And the states took upon themselves sovereignty themselves. Now instead of having one sovereign, we had 13 sovereigns. And each state had one vote. And they came together in a confederacy. And all you need to do is just Wikipedia the word confederacy or Google it, whatever you want to do. And you'll find that a confederacy is a contract between sovereigns. And so that's what the confederacy was a contract between sovereigns, which each state had one vote in the confederacy. So rather than having one king, we had, in a sense, we had 13 now. And is that the end?
Well, you got another minute or so
to
wrap up.
Okay, I got another minute. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm almost finished anyway. But what they did then is in 1787, the people took it upon themselves to send delegates in convention and ratify We the People's Constitution. And the Republic is generally what we know as the Republic, did not consist of a hierarchy structure, whereas the smaller units composed the bigger units and the bigger units the greater units and then the entire nation. That is not the way the Republic was set up. The Republic was only one body of people. Didn't matter which state they lived, it didn't matter. One body of people, we the people, and they ratified a constitution for a general government that was actually through the people, we the people, actually for the first time usurped and took upon themselves the sovereignty. And they made through the people. The people made the state subject to themselves for the first time in history. And so once again, America was under control of a sovereign, but it was the sovereignty of the people, not a king or not a state sovereign unit or some other thing. It was we the people as one body sovereign. Now, the word citizen, an American citizen is a very, very special and a very privileged status, because you didn't have an American citizen anywhere else, or the status of an American citizen was very special. And the forefathers, in their language, they say it was a privilege to be an American citizen. Now, an American citizen was a citizen of the United States, or that's how they had set it up. A citizen of the United States, as an American citizen, was also a citizen of the state. And here was his status. His status was a sovereign. He's one of the sovereigns. That's what a United States citizen of the United States was one of the sovereigns in America. So it's a very, very special status. And you'd only find this in the research, when you do the research of the statutes at large and in the old General Acts of Congress, you'll find what I'm saying is true. So anyway, welcome aboard to the Republic. I look forward to more research and education and helping those that want to be educated as well, and building this republic, and especially the judiciary. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Nathan. Are you available to be on the call? We're going to open up for questions and answers now from a range of topics. Will you be around and available if there's something that comes up to your field? Wonderful. All right. Thank you very much, sir.
You bet.
All right. We're going to lay a few ground rules here. Janine, if you would like to review those.
I would. First off, to get into ask a question, please press *6 on your phone and then confirm it by pressing a number 1. I'm going to, in order that everyone has an opportunity to ask a question, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and then I'm going to, you'll have to wrap that up so we can get on to the answer. Also, if you have any issues that are specific to your state as far as controversy, please keep that within your state. This is a national call and not really the place for those kinds of issues. And with that, Robert, I'm going to take the first caller.
Well, just before you do, okay. I have a couple of other guidelines that I'd like to lay out here this evening.
Sure.
If you would like to ask a question and you don't want to ask it verbally, but you want to send it in to questions@therepublicoftheunitedstates.org, I will monitor that as well. There is a tone that I would like to maintain on this call. The Republic Roundtable is taking proactive steps. It's looking at what we're doing to move forward. It is looking at how we can engage our wheels and all of our collective efforts in a positive direction forward. There are other forums for calls that drag you down. This is not that forum. So at the same time, very much, there are gaps in understanding. So if you've got a gap in an understanding and you're wanting clarification on that, or you've got a point of view that's just really burning in your heart, and you feel you'd like to bring that to the floor, absolutely welcome it. But this is certainly not going to be a forum for a discord and strife. So I will set that tone and maintain it. So with that, Janine, I would like to just firstly say this. We have the first email came in, and they were saying they're not sure about well, let me just see what she said. Your website doesn't say how our debt owed to other nations will be handled. Will it be all wiped out, or will it be that will we be on the hook for a certain amount? While it's understandable that you can't say certain things, I can also understand how people may be reluctant to join a group that show no proof that others in the military are willing to salute them. Some of us have been badly burned before. What do you say to those who want proof? Not of your right to do this, but of the support and backing that you speak of. So I responded to her yesterday on that, and I basically said, thanks for contacting us. I hear where you're coming from about being cautious after being burned before. I long ago realized that I can only be true to the inner bugler within my soul, and that still small voice. No one else knows where I belong but that inner
voice. I'm timing it.
That's fine. If you're not sure and you need proof and are hesitant to move forward, then it seems to be where your comfort zone is. Lots of changes and developments are occurring within the Republic, and I, for one, am very excited to be engaged with all my spare time. I see millions of my fellow Americans coming on board very soon. I sense that it will happen suddenly and quickly. So just as the call started, she responded back to say, I'm praying for your success, and I believe in what you are doing. But our current government is a beast and out of control in every way, shape, and form. Hopefully this financial collapse will do them in, and if not, then perhaps the earth changes will take care of everything, and then we will start all over in peace. But it doesn't appear that the good guys within the system have the intestinal fortitude to make the necessary changes, which require bold action. Your first caller, Janine.
Thank you, Robert. The first call is, last name is Young, from 940 area code. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
I can.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. I am not new to the Republic, although I haven't joined. I'm in Texas. I have the question of when is, and maybe I missed it, when is the new paperwork or DSR paperwork coming out?
Very good. Perhaps Speaker Lounsbury, you could talk about that. And Mr. Weiner, if you have a comment to follow that up for interim, that's good.
Sure. Thank you, Robert. The paperwork for the new DSR is probably at least a couple of weeks away as far as passing through Congress. You can go on to the RepublicCongress.org website to view it so that you can get an idea of what it's going to be and how it would be different from the current paperwork. And it's under the public tab under current legislation and immigration naturalization. But yeah, I'm expecting it's going to be a few weeks, but not much longer than that. Pardon?
Now, Mr. Weiner, I have the form, the DSR form, the JC and all that. Can I go ahead and fill that out and send it to you or send you a copy of it? Is that how you go about doing this?
That would be fine. You do have our rrb.admin email address, ma'am?
No, I have been trying to get in the Republic for 3 years.
Okay, let me help you out here. RRB stands for Republic Records Bureau, RRB dot or period, and then the word admin, admin.
Okay.
And then the little at symbol, Republic of the United States dot org, O-R-G.
Okay.
And if I could get your name, we will flag it and be watching for it.
I actually.
If you want to, you don't
no,
have to
I,
put it
No, I have not. My name is Dawn, and
okay.
Wade Butler was at my home on Saturday, and I've been working with Wade. But I just wanted to be clarified, have some clarity on the paperwork. I mean, if that's the proper paperwork, can I go ahead and do that? I have been trying for 3 years and just been pushed aside, and so I just need some clarity here.
Absolutely.
This
we'll,
is Jim Geiger.
Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to tell her that until the form is approved by Congress, that your state can adopt it to be used, and so you can go ahead and be using that. And I would get the most recent form off the website, like the speaker was talking about, but nobody's going to question you using that form.
Do I use the Texas one or the one off the RRB?
No, the one off of the Republic Congress is what he's referring to, ma'am.
Republic Congress.
Right. If you send us an email, we will get you the forms that he's talking about so that you won't have any more delay.
Okay. I appreciate that.
I'd just like to make sure, underscore something, gentlemen, all of you, and please weigh in. There is a DSR coming down the pipeline here, but we have been going now for a couple of years, and certainly a year and a half, with paperwork that is already acceptable for everyone. So we're not sending out a tone to say, everybody wait to join the Republic. Paperwork that each state has that they're working with now that you've been accepting in Republic Records Bureau is still acceptable for each state. Is that correct, Rick?
Yes, sir. That's correct. And like I said, Senator Geiger and House Speaker Lounsbury are working through a form. Jim Geiger, are you still there? Is it in an affidavit form now, or is it still in a declaration form, sir?
It's in an affidavit format right now. And Texas is in the process of reorganizing. So,
correct.
You know, the people there in that reorganization are can use whichever form they like, but it would be most appropriate to go ahead and use this form. That would be my advice. You can use whichever form that your group votes on, but eventually it has to be received by the Bureau of Republic Records, and they would have to validate that you actually joined the Republic. So,
so again, give me hello.
Yes, we're still here. Go ahead.
So, just to clarify, in case there's other Texans listening, I need the place where I can get the form that you're telling me to fill out, because some of us know that there was some controversy here, and so I need to clarify this as I have other people listening that are new to this.
Very good. The Congress website that they're speaking of is www.republiccongress.org, O-R-G.
Okay.
And that also will let them be able to view the public portions of the resolutions and other things that have gone on that, unfortunately, I've heard from some of you that were never allowed to see. So we want to know, want you to know that this is an open republic where you can see what's going on. You have that right.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. You've helped me greatly.
And one other thing that we might say, Robert, is an affidavit. In other words, like Senator Geiger was saying, it's in an affidavit form. An affidavit is a statement of fact and solely belongs to the one who uses it, where you're utilizing it in a way where it needs two witnesses to make it valid. And as everyone on this call probably already knows and realizes, when you step up to an affidavit form, it is one of the strongest, most readily accepted forms throughout the world for stating a fact. So I yield.
Very good. Chief Justice Peachy, do you want to make a quick comment about affidavits?
Yeah, I think Rick covered that very well. You know, the talk around the roundtables in creating this new affidavit of sovereign rights came about for the need to have a simple document that could be entered into the court of record and that would give validity and standing that we could absolutely enforce with our American Rangers. So,
very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Rick, if I can have the floor just a second, I think what we've seen tonight is essentially a microcosm of what the intent is in Congress for the way this document should work. And the lady who just called from Texas, she showed her intent to join the Republic, to join the people and on this call. And so we told her what form to use to fill out. And so it's simple as that. But when we're reaching out to the millions across the board in the country, the way they're going to show their intent essentially is on the computer. They can type in their information on the computer to show their intent, and then we'll send them to the proper place where it can be validated who they are and that, they can join the Republic. So simple as that.
Very good. Our next call is from Washington State. You
go ahead, caller.
Yes, hi, Janine.
Hello. We lost him. Washington, if you can hear us, please get back into the queue, and I will unmute you for next. And I'm terribly sorry about that. So please go ahead and press star 6, Washington. And now we have Missouri. Missouri, can you hear us?
Washington's okay. Come back in the queue.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute Missouri. Maybe they'll come back to the phone, and we will unmute Washington. Go ahead,
Hi,
Washington.
Janine.
Hi.
This is Senator Don Ford.
Hi, Don.
Just had a quick question. I'm understanding that as the states stand right now, before we have thousands of people in Republic in our state, is it clear that we as a government cannot pass bills or act anything that's law until the state has more people. Isn't that correct?
Speaker Lounsbury, it is not correct that you cannot pass anything as a provisional government. However, we do have a fiduciary responsibility to the people that will be coming in and a part of this overall republic, because we are provisional in nature, that the things that we pass should be limited to the things that absolutely need to get taken care of in this provisional period of time. So we don't necessarily go out and start passing a whole bunch of things that would be affecting a lot of different people that aren't things that can't wait until we have a majority of the people in this nation part of the republic. And that's so it's a judgment call. Technically, you could, but because of the nature of where we're at, it's not wise or prudent to do that.
I understand. We were just in the legislature and the Senate. We were just talking about passing an act that gave us the ability to recall elected officials that do not do anything. They're not engaging in the process. They're not on the calls, and they just don't have time or whatever. But we felt that we needed to have something in place for the people to be able to have that recall ability, and we just didn't know if we could pass that as an act at this time or as a bill.
I would say that you probably could, because there during this provisional time there are it is a very tenuous time and a time in which perhaps there are issues and situations that need to be dealt with, and therefore that could be construed as an act that would be appropriate for this time frame to be able to allow for that, because there may not be the ability to do it any other way, and yet something might have to get dealt with. So I would just be prudent in the way that you do it and be as consistent with the Constitution as you possibly can, and make sure that all of the people in the state are involved in that process, especially if it's something that affects the Constitution.
I'd like to weigh in on that a little, if I can, as well, Speaker Lounsbury, and that is, as a republic, as a re-inhabiting of the republic, each of us have a place in the republic. Each of us have offered to step up to the plate to serve our fellow Americans. And I would start by saying, hey, Joe, or Jill, or Jack, or whoever you are, we notice you haven't been showing up for the state and participating in the people's business here. Just want to know whether you're really in and it's something you really want to dedicate your heart to, or if you're not. And if you're not, just tell us, and we'll just look about replacing it. And I would opt and suggest that we speak to each other face-to-face, frankly, and see if we come to a meeting of the minds without spending a lot of our time looking at how we're going to, separate out dead wood or get ourselves in a whole bunch of just spending a lot of time working on how to replace those people. So sometimes it's as simple as just, hey, you know, if you're really not on board, that's great. Can you, step back and let somebody else take that seat?
Okay. Do we need to go back and attach that provision on our caveat to the Constitution that we just adopted, or can we just go ahead and pass the bill?
This is Jim Geiger. May I speak?
Yeah, sure.
And President Pro Tem of the Senate. It would not be a bill. A bill would be when you're spending money, sir. So it would have to be an act or a resolution. Yeah, it would not be a bill. But so it would be the first thing you need to do would be look at your Constitution that you've already enacted and see if it provides for removal of these officials. And if it doesn't do that, then surely that's an inadequacy in your Constitution. So however you wanted to do it, and however your people there at your state feel like it needs to be done, I don't think anybody's going to look over your shoulder and tell you did it wrong. We are provisional government, and if you see a need that needs to be done on behalf of the people in order to get your government there seated and efficiently, then go ahead and do what you feel needs to be done. I mean,
right.
If they do it wrong, if there appears to be any injured parties, the appropriate action for them is to take it to the Supreme Court, the one Supreme Court. If they want to say you did it wrong, that would be the venue that they would have to fight that issue. So that would be their choice. But what's I know we've had controversies in some other states, and the people removed some officials according to their law form there in those states, and you've got some of those public officials, instead of going to the one Supreme Court, which would be the proper venue, or going to the public airways, if you would, and trying to stake their case there and get other states involved. Well, the other states have no say-so whatsoever in their state to begin with. And the proper venue for them, if they really want to fight it, is go to the one Supreme Court. You have to question the intent of people who do those kinds of things.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to report there's no conflict or any problem right now. It's just the will of the people and the assembly and the state want that in place. And we just wanted to be clear that we could pass that as an act at this time. And you've answered my question, and I thank you. I appreciate your insight, and thank you, Jeanine, as well, for all your help. And we're kind of adopting the same process that Oregon State's using.
Can I weigh in on this question just briefly?
Yes, go ahead, Nick.
Thank you. It's an interesting question. Just keep in mind, I don't know your name who asked the question, but there's a distinction between members of Congress and public officials. In 1871, the Republic Congress was all changed over to civil public officers. Now, the members of Congress are they're delegates and representatives of the sovereign people. Okay, so a recall vote is fine. You know, you don't because all they're doing is, in fact, I read some of the old papers here recently, where one of the founding fathers made a statement that all the people essentially would comprise a Congress, but because there would be too many people, then they have representatives or delegates, so as not to overcrowd the rooms, and so basically a recall vote. Is quite adequate and is very Republican form and constitutional for senators and representatives. But when it comes to public officers that have an oath to office, then normally there's a little bit of a different procedure involved that you have to be make sure that it's constitutional according to your state's constitution. Thank you.
Very good. So we'll move on now to the next question.
Let's go ahead and try the Missouri again, Robert. Go ahead, Missouri. I hope you can. I'm going to unmute you again. Robert, we'll give him a couple seconds here. Missouri, can you hear us?
Are you there?
Yes,
can you speak up a little bit, please?
Okay. I'm actually in Kansas.
You're in Kansas. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Blessings all.
Please state your name. At least your first name.
My name's Johnny B.
Hey, Johnny.
I go by Johnny B.
Johnny D.
Yes, sir. And I'm an original. I had a couple of questions. On this DSR document, you're looking for three witnesses to sign this? That is the de jure or the de facto? And do we need a notary on that?
Go ahead. This is Rick. I was going to take that, but go ahead.
You don't need a notary. It is a witness. Then it's only two witnesses. Plus yourself, which is considered the third witness. Pardon?
Yeah, some of the older documents did have three, sir. It's been well researched that any two or any three, if we're going back to common law, biblical law, and the newer forms that are coming out are realizing that affidavits or anything would only require at least two witnesses. And, of course, you're literally one of the witnesses, so there would be three, but you would be the person putting it forth and two people witnessing your signature. Does that make sense, sir?
Yes, sir. I was familiar with the two witness format. And I just wasn't sure about the three. And that is, they don't have to be in Republic. The paperwork I read, I thought it said that you needed to...
To make sure we're answering your question clearly, are you saying that the two witnesses do not have to be in the Republic, sir? Is that your question?
Yes, sir.
I believe that's correct, Senator Geiger and Speaker Lounsbury, or Nathan. I need you guys to rise to that because I'm just the records keeper. I can't make a judgment on that.
Well, we can't either right now.
Well, I can say it's been debated. It's been debated in committee, and I can right now, and I'll let the speaker weigh in with me. This is Jim Geiger. I'm president pro tem of the Senate, but I think that the consensus of the committee has been that we're making the assumption that those witnesses are members of the Republic already, and that may be an item we need to really debate more in the committee as to whether or not that really needs to be the case or not. And I think up to this point, maybe we were assuming among ourselves that that was the case. Speaker Lounsbury, do you remember any specific discussion on that in the committee?
No, not specifically, but I will say that part of the process that's going to be put into place is referring people to their local assembly so that they can get to know them. There's going to be some educational materials and tools and some questions asked and so forth. And so that process of coming and meeting the people in the local assembly are people that are already in the Republic, sort of a vetting process, as it were, to determine if this person truly is a citizen that can sign this document. If it's, for instance, if it's a person visiting from France who's a French citizen, has nothing to do with the United States, could they sign the DSR and get some witnesses to sign it, and then they're in the Republic? Well, the answer is no. Because they don't qualify. I mean, they could sign it, but it wouldn't be lawful because they don't qualify to be a citizen of the Republic, the original de jure Republic, according to the laws that were passed and according to the Constitution. They don't qualify. There's criterions that are going to be put into place. So part of that overall criterion is working with people that are already in Republic, going through the proper channels, the proper roles, and so forth, and if those local assemblies would accept, after they go through their vetting process, if they would accept a signature from someone who's not in the Republic yet as someone who says, yes, I know this person, and that's all they're doing. They're witnessing that this is the person who says he is, and he signed it, period. I would suspect that they would allow perhaps a signature witnessing the person signing from someone outside the Republic. But that would only be after they've done enough verification and checking to determine that they truly do qualify to be in the Republic. And I yield.
Very good. Johnny D., before you ask your next question, are your other questions on the DSR or are they on a different topic?
A different topic, sir.
Okay, so if you would hold on that question for the moment, I want to have the Speaker of the House and the President pro tem address this question that came in. You just told the lady in Texas to use the new form. It is not approved yet. So therefore, shouldn't it be not used yet? Will you please comment on that?
Yeah, this is the speaker. I will address that. And I would not encourage them to necessarily use it. In fact, if you go to the Republic Congress website, you can't use the form directly off that site because it is got a big congressional draft on it and so forth. It has not been approved technically. However, any local assembly can utilize existing forms, and any local assembly can approve forms. So they could take what we're working on, approve a form, and as long as it doesn't conflict with the law forms and so forth, then they could go ahead and utilize a form like that as long as they approve that within their local assembly. I think that's what Senator Geiger was referring to. And I think the best approach is to go ahead and send an email to rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org. And that way, the people there can direct them to all the appropriate forms and all the appropriate procedures that would be pertinent to your particular state, because different states do it different ways right now. And they would be the most knowledgeable about how each individual state is operating and the contact people for those individual states that they would need to contact with and turn their forms into and get signatures and so forth. So the best approach right now for somebody who doesn't have contact with someone in a state is to contact rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Thank you.
Thank you. Robert, I just want to jump in here for just a moment, please. I know that we're going to the people are really getting their questions answered tonight, and that's a good thing, but we are getting close to our 90 minutes, and we're not going to adhere to that strictly because we want to answer these questions, but I am going to ask if we can sort of pick up the pace a little bit.
Johnny D., finish your question, sir.
All right. I was wondering if you'd have any idea what your first publicly acknowledged movement's going to be with the Republic. Do you have any idea what kind of announcement or just, it's kind of hard to stay on the lookout for a certain thing to happen if you're not really aware of where it's going to come up from. I see a lot of Republic movement around me, but it's not really Republic movement.
This is Speaker Lounsbury. I can address that. There are two websites that are going to be key for you to be watching. One is republicoftheunitedstates.org, and any news or announcements and things posted will be on there as far as official press releases and so forth will be on that website. You can also look at what Congress is doing on the republiccongress.org, and there will be press releases and announcements and legislation there. As far as just overall how we're creating press awareness into the general world and the general public, probably the first website, maybe both of them, will announce that, let's say, for instance, we might be having a news article that we know of, an interview on CNN or something at a certain time. That will probably be made known on one of those two websites. But I would suspect that what's going to happen is the announcements are going to be made in international media first, and then it will just begin to slowly seep out, and eventually it'll just be a snowball effect, and it'll all happen fairly quickly.
Thank you, Johnny D.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I could add one more thing to that.
Go ahead.
There was some taping that went on this past week or two in Alabama with the president and several of the officials around the Republic, senators, congressmen. And so I know those are being edited at the time and for release maybe in the next week or two. But maybe Rick Weiner would have more information on that.
Yes, sir, this is Rick. Actually, I was speaking with the fellow that's doing editing. He is probably going to be able to break it up in little segments that we can post in different places. Overall, for the full DVD, he fully expects it'll be the probably March before he actually gets the editing done. There was a ton of editing needs to be done. If you've ever been on one of these quote-unquote cutting room floors, it can really be time-consuming because you have to go through it several times, and he's got all the equipment and the education and the help, but it still takes quite a bit of time. So I think you're right. Probably in a couple of weeks we'll have a little bits and pieces that we'll be able to start posting to the websites, which you'll see in the weekly updates. It'll tell you those kind of things. But as for the overall DVD having to do with the what did we call that, Jim? We call it documentary. Having to do with the documentary, I think it'll take it at least March before we'll see that. And it's probably a good time, Robert, if you don't mind, if we just give a quick little update. We had told people, the president and I had told people, that ABC was going to be doing a documentary on us. Is it okay for me to talk about that for a second, Robert?
Sure.
What ended up happening, the short end of that story is the fellow Dan Lieberman that had originally contacted us and set up the parameters, which the president and I wrote down and brought people together there at our Freedom Yell office, was that he would be there on Sunday and Monday to tape this documentary. And we simply set up the caveat, like the man said earlier, that we were going to bring in our own camera crews and film ABC filming us, literally. Well, by noon Sunday, it became very apparent that they weren't showing up, and our lawful counsel called ABC themselves and said, hey, how come these guys didn't show up? And within 5 minutes after that, Dan Lieberman himself started calling all four of us, the president, myself, the lawful counsel, and Secretary Pledger, saying that, well, he could be there Monday night. Well, he could be there next week. And we told him that, unfortunately, we had put this together at his request, and that we'd spent a lot of money coming there, and that we had our own documentary filming crew there, and so we took care of it ourselves. And if in the future we decided to release some to ABC, we would. So that ended up becoming a no-show on ABC for whatever their reasons were, and I just needed to report that to the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Our next caller is David.
Robert, before we go to the next caller, please.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny B., if you will send an email to rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.com, I've been contacted by people from Kansas that would like to get in touch with you. And if you'll send me your contact information, I will forward it to Kansas. Thank you.
rrb.admin,
A-D-M-I-N, at republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Okay. Thank you, dear.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Our next caller is David. Go ahead, David.
Yes. I am David King, and I am with the Republic about a year. I want to quickly express my appreciation for all the hard work that's been done by you fellows, the progress made. One of my questions is about ID. Has the subject of ID been picked back up, and is there been progress made on that?
Absolutely, sir. This is Rick with the Republic Records Bureau. There is actually a committee that was formed. It was a combination of the IT Internet technical team and other members of the congressional teams that have put that together. And we went into debate right away as to why we needed three IDs. And so they've come to some pretty good conclusions on that. The second thing that we're simply waiting for, earlier Senator Geiger and Speaker Lounsbury were talking about the seal, and of course we have the flag in place. And those were two real necessary items that we needed so that we could have that seal on our new IDs that was approved by the people and adopted for it literally becomes one of the things that we have to do at this point that wasn't back then. We have to bring a seal forward so that we can have that on our official documents, and an ID would definitely be an official document. The other caveat behind that is the minute we get that put together and approved, then I will be able to go back to TSA. TSA is waiting on us. TSA simply took our old IDs and said, is this your official version? If so, we need virtually a letter from your people authorizing us to put it in our books so that it can be recognized and we can look for any that are counterfeit. And, of course, at that point in time back a year ago, the ID machine was absconded with, and that old Bureau of Republic Records site that sometimes Jim and I trip over is now called the Republic Records Bureau site, and we will be bringing that those IDs online just as soon as they get done with the seal, sir.
That is
very good.
One other thing, this is Speaker of the House. One other thing, there is a congressional committee at work right now also preparing an act for Congress to vote on in regards to the IDs and passports and that sort of thing. As a subcommittee of the Immigration and Naturalization Committee, so that that will also be passing through Congress probably about the same time as the seals or thereabouts, and that will need to be passed by Congress in order for that to be appropriated.
Exciting. Very exciting, you guys. Thank you, David.
Yeah, that is great. I do have another question that has to do with banking and money. Is there plans for a replacement of currency and having our own banking system?
There is, sir. This is Records Bureau again. There is, sir. Well, we're at the point right now, we have the quorum of states back solid within days here. The president is again to the position where he can meet with the very people that are providing the funding and the banking. And once he is there and gets those details, then he, of course, brings it back to Congress. And Congress looks at what they want to set up in the way of contracts, what they want to set up in the way of paybacks, what they want to set up in the way of banking. And, of course, we the people, you the people out there, will have to approve that that's the way we're going on this. There won't be any arbitrary decisions made. And so it's a little bit of a long process. We have seen and have been told that there is a change in the currency coming having to do with the Federal Reserve. As to whether we will adopt the new currency that they're talking about on that aspect, or if we have a currency that our Congress puts out on our own, we can't answer that at this point because we don't have that information to Congress to be able to make those decisions, sir.
All right.
Very good. We're gonna move on now. We have a number of callers left, and we are nearing the end of our show. So, John McGowan, you have the floor, sir. Good evening.
Thank you, sir. Nathan Peach, you still on the line?
Yes.
Hey, I'm on the round table. I'll call you back later, okay?
Okay, Jim, that's fine. And, yes, Nathan did answer. John, go ahead.
Okay. Nathan, I'd like to know how to get some problems taken care of. And what I'm referring to is, you know, people are not being able to get the word out in the house calls, not being able to get motions in, and, you know, they have a right to have themselves heard, and when they're not being heard, they revert to something called coffee clutch calls, so
oh.
They can at least talk with each other.
Yeah,
now,
I heard about those calls.
Okay. Now, a lot of the calls, the people are putting out their concerns, and they're just trying to talk to each other. But the ethics committee got involved, and rather than trying to get to the talk to the coffee cutch people, find out what their concerns are, and settle those concerns so we can all move forward as one family, they come up with six things that are possibilities: violation of open office, solicitation, plotting, collusion, conspiracy, sedition. And it seems like it would be a whole lot more sensible to talk to these people, work with them, find out what their concerns are, figure out the concerns, and then move forward, rather than trying to force a divide between the Senate and the House calls and people that aren't happy with the way the leadership is running them. So how can we get past this to move forward?
Give them my phone number. My phone number is 570.
Give me 1 second, sir. All right, 570.
238.
7410. All right, thank you, sir. I'll be talking to them, and I will call you myself personally, maybe set a conference call up with them.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I yield.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next call is from Minnesota. Go ahead,
good
Minnesota.
Evening.
I'm just wanting some clarification again here.
Please state your name.
Anita.
First name is enough. Hi, Anita.
Anita.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanting some clarification. It's my understanding that Congress of the Republic will have to meet in order for the funding to go through and then so that this republic can move forward. Is that correct? And if so, is there a timetable?
That's not – I perhaps misspoke. The funding is in place. For us to be able to appropriate the funds and distribute the funds and spend the funds, Congress, albeit the representatives of the people will have to decide whether what is being offered to us and the paybacks or whatever comes out of that. We'll have, first, that structure will have to be put in place and approved. And then the states already have in their preliminary budgets is what they would need to be operating under. And, of course, it will be a parallel system. And timetable-wise, yes, ma'am, we do have a timetable. We were trying very hard to get it done within the first quarter of this year. That would be somewhere around the 31st of March. But at this moment in time, we don't have the information to actually give to Congress for them to go forward in the banking committees and things like that. So it's our target date, but we don't know how that's going to be. We don't have a book that says how to re-inhabit the Republic 101. So does that help, Anita?
Yes, it does. Thank you, and I yield.
Thank you, ma'am. Our next caller is Donald, 765 area code.
Well, this is Don Moore.
Hey, Don.
Can we talk about the land patent?
Chief Justice Peachy, would you like to talk about that or Rick?
Well, I didn't know where you'd be out of order tonight or not, but I'm having
it's not
problems.
Necessarily. How about if I just give him a quick update where we're at on that, because there's not really anything we can answer regarding it because we're right in those stages.
Well,
so if you don't mind, sir, I'll just give you a quick – go ahead, sir.
The question is, all Section 16 was gave back to the states for school zones. And I own property in Section 16, and our courthouse burnt, and they lost a lot of the records. We went to Indianapolis, the courthouse and all up there, and we can't come up with them.
I understand that, sir. What I need to let you know is what we call Dominion Services, which has to do with the land patent process, is just barely in an operating condition. The president has come and actually opened the first Republic Records Bureau office so that we actually have a place to where the different training, the different processors who have been trained to do the very thing you're talking about are put together. Now, there's going to be a whole lot of research that will have to be going on to take care of the very problems that you're talking about. So if anything, it's such an infant stage, I couldn't even, Nathan or I, either one, could not begin to be able to answer your question, sir. But I can guarantee to you in the future we will be able to get to it. And there will be a lot of information put out. There will be a new Dominion Services website. I don't know exactly what the name of it will be, but that will go out in both press releases and on the website so we can help you get to that point, sir.
Okay. Because I went up to make a house payment today, and they refused my money.
Well, that's interesting. We've got a lot of weird stories like that going on right now.
I'm having trouble even paying the bank. I've been turned down, well, a lot, but the last three times, it'll be two, was yesterday, for the second time they turned me down, and they don't want to cash my checks. What it is, it's a General Motors check, it's a good check. They don't want to cash it, they want me to have driver's license, and I don't have driver's license.
I understand, sir. Yeah, the banking system itself, known as the Federal Reserve System, is in some kind of perhaps dying mode right now, and there's a lot of weird things that they've got going on. We've had a lot of reports. Different people have to have not only what they call a state driver's license as an ID to cash things, but they want some other form of ID. And they're putting a lot of constraints on the people. And so that's why we're pushing forward with what we're doing, so that hopefully the banking system that we've got in place won't cause you those type of problems, sir.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Don, I just wanted to make one other mention in there. You might like to, if it's happened three times now, you might like to just have a witness go with you and document the where their refusal to accept payment so that you have two or three witnesses with you and just...
They've done that. I've been going to another bank, a different bank, cashed them a check and then taking them cash. That's what they're asking me to do now. I said, no, this is a bank. You will cash my check and accept this payment. No, we won't do it. I'll show them my diplomat ID. which has got my picture and everything else on it, and they will not accept it. So I'll get my Social Security check probably tomorrow. I thought I'd get me a group of people and take a whole crew up there.
There you go. That's the way.
All right.
Thank you.
Robert, we have four more callers in the queue. Now, we are over time, but we do want to answer everyone's questions. Our next caller is Representative Mark Gardner.
Good evening, Representative.
Hi, everybody.
Gardner.
How you doing?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, I got a question concerning the Free State URLs that I understand might have been purchased for all the states to use. Do you have a date when we might be able to access those?
Actually, they're available right now, sir. If you send me an email on it, I believe it's Brett Greenwood and Nathan Peachy that have all of those reserved, and we're trying very hard to get them turned over to the different states. So if you want to shoot that to me, I'll be sure and get it to Brett and to Nathan so that they can answer that directly to you.
Jeff Smith. That's Jeff Smith. Jeff Smith is taking care of that, Rick.
Oh, okay. Jeff Smith. I'm sorry. Jeff Smith and Brett Greenwood. But if you, regardless, you get it to me, I'll get it to the right person, sir. This is Rick with the Republic Records Bureau, by the way, if you didn't recognize me, Mark.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard myself. I was muted there. I just want to make sure. Okay. That sounds good. I recognize all you guys. The other question is concerning the notary project. Any updates on that?
I think that's
yes,
the Secretary of State. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're absolutely answering properly, Robert. Wade Butler and this office and several people have been working through that. We do have an update within a week or so. Secretary of State Wade Butler will be putting a call together for all secretaries of states, and will, of course, have a report for the entire republic on how that's being put together, because we will have some national notaries, and we will have, of course, the state notaries. And most of the states have the information in their constitution as to how that will be put forth, but it's a rather large subject and a large amount of data that Wade has put together, and so that will be coming out for us all here within the next week or two, sir.
Very nice. Thank you for all the work you guys are doing, and I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Robert, our next caller is from area code 918. I believe that is Oklahoma. Go ahead, caller. If you
yes,
can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. This is Bill from Oklahoma. Can you hear me?
Hi, Bill. Yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah, I have a couple questions. One is in regard to funding. Will that be state by state? In other words, will the state have to vote and accept funding to the state as the funding for government is a loan?
We understand it at this time, sure, yes. This is Rick with the Republic Records Bureau. That's the way we understand it, yes. The governors of the states have put in preliminary budgets what they need to run, we call a parallel system, and yes, it would have to be reconfirmed, although the National Congress would set up the preliminary ways to do things. The state itself will, of course, have to vote to accept how they're going to utilize the funds, and of course they will have to have a budgeting, oversight committee, all of those kind of things, so that they can do the accounting for that. But yes, it goes all the way down to the people within the state. Yes, sir.
Okay. And they'll outline the methods to repay this loan?
Absolutely. Like I said, we don't know if it's going to be set in a way of a loan. We do know that there's an asset set aside. There is no us having to put up assets like ourselves, our land, or anything like that, but there should be some type of parameter, whether it's even been said that it would be possibly be called a tithe. We literally don't know, but I guarantee you that those details will be fully disclosed, because we know from the people in the Republic we will not allow ourselves to be blindfolded and shackled again, sir.
Okay. great. I appreciate that. Okay, my other question's on a different subject. On these the states that have been are gone green 100%, why can't could there be a list of those states that have been seeded and have completed all the or concluded and included in the 30 states of the republic?
We're currently in the position of what we're doing is sending report cards to the various states. And what we would need is permission from the people to publicize exactly what you're talking about, because not that we're trying to keep it private, but on the other hand, you know, we don't want to put out anything that would be reflected as negative. And so right this minute, Janine and I are in the process of putting together the report showing which states are green and which ones are not. And we send those to the state, and they will send back a notice from all three of their branches, their judicial, their legislative, and their executive branch, that they confirm and verify that our results are in fact correct, what we've got, and then they would be able to tell us whether or not they would want that information publicized or not. And we will respect the wishes of those people, sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Our next caller is from area code 701.
Hi, this is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
I have a question about the identification cards that we purchased way back before all of the problems started. Are those going to be good, or are we going to have to purchase different ones?
You will not have to probably purchase any. You made the effort to put things forward. The president has already decreed that between the judicial branch, the legislative branch, and the executive branch, we have to come up with some way to accommodate those people like yourself that paid for those IDs, that was literally a donation on your part that helped us get to where we're at right now. And we will not create any kind of hardship on you again. There may be a small fee for the new IDs coming out. We don't know what that will be. But anybody that has an ID, we simply will need you to, at that time, make us a copy of it, because we have lost that database. We don't have any of those records of any of the people that did that. That was stolen from us. But, yes, the president has asked all three of the branches to come up with some method to take care of you people that jumped out there and got your IDs, and you will literally be the first in line to get the new IDs when they're finally approved by Congress, ma'am.
All right. Thank you so much, and God bless each and every one of you for all the work you're doing.
Good evening, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
Our last caller is
from Gigabyte.
650. Good evening.
Yes, this is Michelle, and I'm calling from California, and I have a question on the land grants. I have been trying to get one, or the land patent, excuse me, for about 6 months, and I can't because I am in what is the still a Mexican land grant, and I did contact the BLM office, and they asked me, they said, we have no interest in that land, you know, what do you want a land patent for? And that's pretty much as far as I got. So what happens in a situation like that?
To answer you, this is Rick with Republic Records. To answer directly, we don't know for sure. Our research has brought us to, are you familiar with the Hidalgo-Guadalupe treaty?
I've heard about it, yes. I've heard about it. It sounds very familiar. I know that there's a lot of there's still actually a lot of land here. So, but I'm still in the learning phase of all of it. Basically, I've been working with Kelby Smith regarding he's putting some paperwork together on my home, and this was one of the things that he's kind of given me to do, and I have to get some other papers filed with my county, but I'm kind of at a brick wall because when I called the BLM office, they said, well, we can't really help you, you know. So I'm kind of at a wall here, and I don't know what to do, how to proceed with this. I'm at a loss.
Yes, ma'am, I understand. That's exactly where a lot of people in California are. We have other people that are working with us that have run into the same problem. And we're looking into it, researching it, trying to find out where or what methods have to be done on that. We feel sure that at some point we'll be able to put that together. But because of that particular treaty, which the treaty rather precisely said that the land will be given or released to the people that are living on the land, the BLM is giving us a blank wall. They're literally closing the door. They probably have the answer. They don't want to give it to us. We may have to get so far as down to our actual enforcement within the next few months here to where we can actually go through those closed doors and demand that information. So I think they're playing a hide the rock business right now. I believe it's there. We just haven't come to that solution. But I guarantee that some of us researching and anything that you've come up with, if you provide us with those reports and the doors that were closed on you, perhaps together we'll find a way.
Yeah, I've spoken with them. I have everything logged, so I can send you that. The other thing that I needed to do was accepting the deed and a constructive notice that I need to get filed with my county. He also gave me the name of a Jay Jones in the Republic. He said to contact. Is there, or who do I get help? You know, who do I contact regarding this?
Jay is one of our chief justices.
Right. He's one of our chief justices, and he's one of our processors. And if you would do the same thing that we were talking about earlier, send it to rrb.admin.
Okay.
Because what I was reporting on earlier, Jay Jones, myself, I think we got five or six other people that are just now putting the websites, Dominion Services together. The president, security chief Tim Pledger, several people. I think there's probably 10 or 15 total. A lot of people in Florida that have put this process together and found it to be lawful and correct. And, of course, the president, you know, he kind of throws me under the bus sometimes. He calls me up and says, Rick, you ain't got nothing else to do. Why don't you get together with us on this land patent deal so we can record it? And that is one of the things that Janine and I are doing in this office that was just opened, is setting it up to where we can do that recording. And we're working with that committee. We've got the forms and all the papers being put together so that we can give you a package step by step what needs to be done, ma'am. So, and we're getting real close to that. We'll have another call with the people this Friday, and the president is pushing us real hard to get that information back out to you all so that we can go forward with that.
Okay. I'll go ahead and get that information into you guys, and because I know that you guys want to get off the line, I can kind of give you an update with that information that way. So I appreciate it. You guys have been real helpful, and I'll be contacting you. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Very good.
Yeah,
thank you. I'm done too, Robert, for right this second. So I'm back to you and Janine.
Very
thank
good. That was our last caller. I want to thank all of you on the panel for sharing and giving your input. I'd like to let any of you have a closing comment if you would like to. Otherwise, we'll close in a word of prayer.
Robert?
Yeah.
This is Nathan. I have two items I need to just to quickly go over. The phone number that I gave for that gentleman, that's actually the incorrect phone number. I'm not sure what that phone number is I wanted to give him. So why doesn't he just email Rick Weiner tomorrow, and Rick, you give him my new phone number. The old phone number I have is going to expire as is midnight right now. So I got a new one, but I don't think it's I think I got the numbers mixed up and I don't have it with me. So that gentleman that called for my phone number for the Coffee Clutch group, just to ask Rick Weiner tomorrow or email him, and Rick will have that new phone number. The second item, is that okay, Rick?
Yeah, that's fine, because we know who it was, and I'll let him know that.
Okay. The second item I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is I got an email today. I just thought I wanted to share it tonight. The thing was too good to not talk about it. Everybody really needs to know about it. For all of you that are out there doing judicial battles with foreclosures, and this email I got was just absolutely phenomenal. I really thank the person that sent it to me. It was so valuable. I think it was Brett LaRue, or I forget the name, but I really thank you for sending me that email. It's just amazing. And here's what it was. When you're doing a notice, or when you're dealing with a court issue, whether it's a foreclosure issue or any type of an issue, primarily in the past, what we're doing is we're doing giving judicial notice or serving the officials with paperwork. But they are all agents of the corporation. And if you want to notify any agent that is serving on behalf of the corporation, you never serve the agent himself. You always go to the registered agent of that corporation. When I read that email, I said, my gosh, of course. How simple. Is it an undiscovered key that we need to start using? Now, all the mortgage foreclosures that people are dealing with today, I believe most of them, the corporations, the banks, have one registered agent, and that is the CDC Corporation, I believe out of Delaware.
Are you saying that registered agent is the same one for every bank, or each bank has one?
I believe that's how
one...
they have it set up, right? If the information is correct. I haven't fully researched this, but that's what he wrote, that the mortgages, most of the banks and the mortgage companies, being it's that they're Delaware corporations, have one prime registered agent serving most of them, which is the CDC Corporation. So whenever you notice banks of fraud, or whenever you do your paperwork in court, it doesn't really matter. You need to go to that corporation's registered agent, because that is what they're there for. They are there to accept service of process in legal issues. If you do it to the judges or directly to the people, they're just officers. If you notice them or give them notice of process, it don't mean nothing. And I believe when you start doing that, find out who the registered agent is for that corporation or that official that you're dealing with, whether it's a county judge, whether it's a police officer, whatever it is, you need to find out who is the registered agent for that corporation that they're serving on.
Beautiful. That
Could
sounds
make all
very...
the difference. Thank you.
That sounds excellent, Nathan. The
you
whole,
bet.
Yeah. Generally, it's on a secretary, the Secretary of State's website, right, for the particular state that the corporation was set up in?
It depends.
Or corporation commission, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, they have everything webbed together. You know, you really need to do almost an audit on these people that you're dealing with to find out who the corporation is that they're actually servicing for or working for. Could
Very
be an
good.
Overseas corporation, some of them. Who knows?
All right. Does anyone else want to make a closing comment? Very good. Well, I would like to, Janine, my board seems to have hung up. Can you find Bill Dobek, please?
Bill Dobek?
And unmute him.
Okay, one moment.
Thanks. Or Bill, you could press *1 and you could come in the queue that way too.
*6-1
There you go. Thanks. I want to thank everyone for being on the call tonight. It's been very productive. Your feedback is welcome. You can feedback to questions at therepublicoftheunitedstates.org or to RRB, admin, as if they haven't got enough already to do.
I'm sorry, Robert. I am not finding him, and he's not pressed *6 in the queue yet. So,
good.
Bill, chance here. If you'd please press *6.
Oh, I see Justice Jay Jones on. Let's have him close if he's willing.
Great. You're making me work, Robert. Hold on.
I am, yeah. *6-1, Jay. That works too.
Yeah, that works too. Helps me find everybody. And for some reason, I got enough on here that it's hiding from me tonight.
Let's see if mine works. I think I just got him. No. No, it's not working.
Oh, I have found Bill.
Okay. We'll get you next time, Justice Jay.
I have a Bill. Well, this is Oklahoma Bill.
No, this is a
That is. It is Oklahoma Bill.
Bill, would you like to close us in prayer this evening?
Okay. Okay, yes. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace that flows from you unto us, and Father, we thank you for your wisdom that you grant unto us, you, Father, that you give to all men liberally that ask, and you upbraid us not. Father, we thank you for the servants in this republic, and Father, we just ask that you'd bring us on board with you, that your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Father, we just pray that your anointing rest on every officer of this republic and every people of this republic, that we would serve each other in love and build your kingdom in this earth as it be your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Janine, would you like to select a closing song? Perfect. Good night, everyone. Thank you.